Pastor, thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, Bethel Church. And to the rest of you, good morning. So good to see you today. What a beautiful day in Oklahoma. How many of you noticed that bright stuff out there? It's called sunshine. How many of you are glad to have that in Oklahoma, by the way? Very, very beautiful today. It's a joy to be with you once again. I look forward to this. So good to be with my friends, Pastor and Mrs. Dick Temple. How many of you thank God for this man and woman? Stand up. They look so good today. Stand up. Come on. Come on. Wow. Come on. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Amen. I enjoy hanging out with Pastor. He seems like a father to me. I want you to know. I'm kidding you. We're about the same age. It's been an incredible day. Today, if you've never ridden in a car with Ulysses and Kathy, you need to have that experience. They picked me up at the hotel. And by the way, they celebrated last week, they told me, 55 years of marriage. Is that correct? Stand up. Come on. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Come on. How many of you know anything lasted 55 years ought to be celebrated? Give them a hand right now. Now, just to set the record straight, I think I have maybe committed a terrible sin. My wife and I celebrate Wednesday. You've never met my wife, have you? I don't think she's ever been here. I'm going to fix that for you right now. We live on the beach. Somebody's got to live there. Might as well be us. That wonderful lady right there is my wife. And this Wednesday, we will celebrate 55 years of marriage. And here's my sin. I'm going to be gone to Mexico. How many of you know I'm going to pay a high price for that? That woman is a shopper, a gifted shopper, and when I'm gone, she knows no limits whatsoever. People ask me all the time, how in the world do you stay married 55 years? We worked out a great agreement. And this is it. She says, I mean, with fervor, she says, I want you to know I will never get another husband. It took me too long to train the one I got. And here's my commitment. I said to her the other day, I said, sweetheart, if you ever leave me, I'm just going with you. And so for 55 years, we have been in ministry. This is the best thing that ever happened to me other than Jesus. I want you to know if I had not married Carol Miller then, Carol Holden now, I probably would still be pumping gas for my cousin Lester down in Louisiana. She just has put a lot of style. Let me tell you a little bit about just a brief moment. One of the reasons that I'm not going to be there for the anniversary, and watch my mouth, I'll make that up. I'm going to take her to a nice place and we're going to celebrate. We're still in love. How many of you know you can still be, we still hold hands. She makes eyes at me. Once in a while on the front row, when I'm preaching, she makes eyes at me. And I have to get over here and preach lest I be distracted. But, Carol and I built and pastored the same church in Fort Smith, right down the road for 38 and a half years. I stepped down in 2009 and I have never been as busy. I am working harder right now than I ever have in my life. I told Brother Dick the other day, I'm going to get me another church to pastor where I can have time to go fishing. But God has opened so many doors for me. I'm on my way to the southernmost state in Mexico. This is what I do right now. And we're going to be celebrating there a tremendous accomplishment. We became involved with that work through a dear friend of mine, Dr. Dale Yurton, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, Chiapas, Mexico, the southernmost state in Mexico, was the most dangerous state, the bloodiest state in all of Mexico. 50 years later, plus 500 new churches and tens of thousands of Christians. Listen to this. Chiapas, Mexico is now the safest state in Mexico because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, celebrate with me right now. The gospel can make a difference. I just came back from India. I'm going to go to Pakistan. I know those are not the safest places in the world. My 10-year-old grandson, when I called the family together and announced my itinerary for 2019, he's 10 years old. He stood up at the table. All the family was there and said, Pappy, you're not going to Pakistan. I said, Really? No, you're not going. I said, why do you want me to go? He said, there's some mean people over there. He said, why are you going? I said, because there's some mean people over there. How many of you know the gospel can change things? Are there any believers in this room today? Well, we're taking a vote right here. If you're a believer, put your hand up and say with me, I'm a believer. The question is, what do you believe? It's easy to say I'm a believer. Let me check your beliefs. May I do that? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem to a virgin named Mary? How many of you believe that Jesus walked this earth for 33 and a half years as a teacher, a prophet, and the Messiah? Let me see your hand. You believe that? Oh, this is a great house of believers. How many of you believe that Jesus at the age of 30 began public ministry, and the record of that is in the four Gospels? You're doing good. You're doing good. How many of you believe at the age of 33 and a half, he was betrayed by Judas, nailed to a cross, and died for our sins? How many of you believe that 3 days later, the same Jesus born in Bethlehem, crucified upon a cross, defeated death, and rose from the grave? How many of you believe that? This is a great congregation, I want you to know. No wonder you got good preachers here. Anybody could preach right here. Turn to your neighbor and say, honey, we're better folks than most folks think we are. Just tell them that right now. Yes, indeed. How many of you believe that Jesus walked this earth for 40 days after his resurrection? Some of you are wondering about that. I moved a little bit beyond your understanding. He did. He did. He was seen of hundreds of people during that 40-day period. At the end of that 40 days, do you believe he led the disciples out to the mount, spoke to them his final words, and then in a cloud ascended up into heaven? How many of you believe that? Some of you are thinking about that. Did that really happen? Yes, it did. Now, the question is, Jesus left this earth, ascended into heaven, took a seat at the right hand of the Father. Here's the question for the day. What is he doing right now? What is he doing? He's been doing this for 2,000 years. What is he doing? I'm going to shock you here in a moment with a statement, but before you reject it, I want to take you to the Bible. Are you aware that he not only died for you, rose from the grave for you, sent the Holy Spirit for you, but is basically in heaven at the Father's right hand for you right now? Right now, there is somebody, oh my, I can't wait to say this. There is somebody on your side at the right hand of Almighty God for you today. Now, what is he doing? I know he's interceding, I know that. How many of you thank God for his prayers? But he is doing more than that. He is referred to in the scripture as the high priest of our confession. In other words, when you make a confession with your mouth, he picks that confession up and delivers it to the Father God. How many of you think he's about the best attorney you could ever have? How many of you believe that the Father listens to the Son? Think about that. That kind of excites me. When I speak a word that is in harmony with God's word, it's not just speaking it in the air. It is delivered to Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And he says to the Father, Father God, old Kempe down there just made a confession in harmony with your word. We need to get that done. Now, here's another question. How many of you like questions? That was a question. You know how we don't like questions in church? It forces us to think. Turn to your wife and say, Mabel, I was afraid it's going to come to this. Oh, yes. Now, here's my question. You're a believer. You're a Christian. If it is true that when you make a confession, it is delivered to Jesus, and Jesus speaks that to the Father for that to be performed, what are you giving Jesus to work with on a daily basis? Now, some of you are looking at me, so I'm going to take you to the Bible. How many of you, if I can prove it in the Bible, how many of you would smile more? All right? Is it okay to preach the Bible in this church? I'm going to, whether it is or isn't. In the book of Hebrews, pick up your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It's going to be on the screen. Seeing then, this is Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then, how many of you thank God for these folks that work in the crow's nest back there? Oh, turn around right there. You guys and gals, stand up. We thank God for you here today. Come on, stand up, stand up, stand up. Come on, give them a good hand. Wow. I told them this morning, if you can't see it and you can't hear it, we can't have it. And how many of you know they only hear from us when it's bad? We need to tell them when it's good. Look at this. Seeing then, watch this, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. There it is. Let us, say it with me, let us. Now the rest of you say it. Now if you want to get out before 2 o'clock, we need to get on the same page. Let us hold fast. What's the next phrase? The next two words. Let us hold fast our what? Confession. Directly connected between the position of Jesus at the right hand of the Father is your confession. Seeing then, look at it, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, even Jesus, the Son of God. Watch this. Let us hold fast our confession. Watch the next phrase. What's the next phrase? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Watch this. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How many of you here have ever had a need in your life since you became a Christian? If you lie, you fry. How many of you have had a need? How many of you honestly have some needs today? Now, what I want to do is, I want to speak to you for just a few moments about the importance of your confession. Now, how many of you are aware that the word confession can be used in a negative way and can also be used in a positive way? Negatively, God says, and it's almost positive, though it is a little bit negative, God's word says, if you will confess your sins, if you'll confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. How many of you thank God for that? Amen. Now, in fact, let's flip it over to an even more positive statement. Are you aware that you are going to heaven and not to hell? How many of you are planning to go to heaven? I don't mean right now, but I mean eventually. You are actually going to heaven because of your confession. Romans chapter 10 verse 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Watch this. Even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Look at this. Here's the word. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, but that's not enough, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, watch this, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, key verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not just enough to believe it in your heart. To activate it, you got to confess it with your mouth. Now, this verse will not be on the board, but it's on the Holy Spirit board. It's just being quickened to me right now. Is that okay? You know what Jesus said? If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Let me give you another verse. This is not on the board. I feel the Holy Spirit here today. Y'all ready to hear the word of God? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1, just make a note. If you want to look it up, you're right there at it, close. Hebrews 3, 1, Jesus is referred to, listen to this, as the high priest of our confession. Now, the original King James uses the word profession, but the actual Greek word actually is better translated confession, because it involves using your mouth to say what God says. Now, let me just define the word confess. Look at this. It's from a Greek word, homaglio. It means to say the same thing as another. To say the same thing as another. To agree with, assent, to concede, not to refuse, to promise, not to deny, to confess, declare, to profess, to declare openly, to speak out freely. Look at this, to praise and to celebrate. Do you know that when you worship and praise God, you are making a confession with your mouth that is in agreement with what God says about you, about Him, and about His provision? That kind of makes you want to do a little more enthusiastic praising. Boy, I was so blessed today. I'm telling you, I will never forget this. I don't know whose kid this was. There's a little girl standing up here. She's about 8 years old. You're talking about a worshiper. She had those hands up. I'm telling you, I was reminded, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. How many of you thank God for these kids that worship God? Whoa. Now, I want you to find a piece of paper, turn your bulletin over, iPhone, iPad, whatever you got. I'm going to give to you in the next few moments. And let me tell you something. I've been a pastor for almost 50 years. Same church, almost 40. I understand getting out on time. If you don't let folks beat the Baptist to the restaurant, they'll withhold their tithe. So I understand that. But I want to share with you in the next few moments five confessions of faith. I'm going to make you a promise. If you will jot down these five confessions, I would encourage you to put them on a 3x5 card and commit them to memory. I would encourage you to scotch tape them to the dash of your truck or car on your refrigerator. Every day, I'm going to challenge you to make these five confessions every day for the next 12 months. Now, I'm going to make you a promise. If you will do that for the next 12 months, I'll make you a promise. You will greatly move and improve the quality of your life, of your marriage, of your business, of your ministry, of your church, because these five confessions will put you in a position where God can move in your circumstances. Here they are. You ready? Everybody's ready? Say yes. Number one, I am who He says I am. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I am who He says I am. 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, watch this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, please don't be offended at this statement, but if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are no longer a sinner under shame, guilt, and condemnation. Because of Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Pastor Holden, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. And you don't know what I've done. Before I came to Christ, I call it, you know, BC, before Christ. I grew up in Louisiana. That says a whole lot right there. If you were to visit my hometown, you would meet folks who would say, I just don't understand this. Kemp Holden has been so blessed in his life. He has led an incredibly blessed life, and I knew him before. And it just ain't right. In fact, I've encouraged them to take it up with God. And when they do, they are totally surprised. God, do you remember what Kemp Holden did in his life? You want to know what that was. It's none of your business. But you know what? Can I come down here? We're going to just have a chat. You know what? If you were to go before God this morning and you were to say, tell me about Kemp Holden. I've heard he was a scoundrel. God would hit the heavenly computer, pull up my name, look at you and say, you must have the wrong guy. There's nothing on his screen in his past. Amen. I can prove that to you. Same book, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Watch this. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, since I'm your guest, and this is my second time I've been here, I probably will never be invited back when I make this next statement. This is controversial right here. Ushers, lock the doors. Don't let anybody out till I get finished. I'm getting my nerve up. I do not believe that the blood of Jesus covers my sin. Did you hear all the wind go out of this room? I do not believe that. I believe that the blood of Old Testament sacrifices, the lambs, the goats, the calves, the turtle doves, that was shed for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years under the old covenant, covered sin until the day that the Lamb of God walked up Calvary's Mount and was crucified and spilled his blood. Yeah, that's right. And suddenly things radically changed. Right. His blood does not cover sins. His blood washes sins away. Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a whole different deal. That's a whole different deal. The old hymn, anybody ever sing a hymn? The old hymn is not, what can cover up my sin? Nothing but the blood. That's not what it says. What does it say? What can, I forgot the words. What are they? What can, I don't remember the words. What can wash away my sin? I got some good news for you. Some of you are carrying guilt and condemnation and shame over mistakes and sins and poor choices in the past. It affects your relationship in your marriage. It affects your worship in church. It keeps you from stepping up and saying, I want to be involved in the ministry of this church. That is a lie from the devil. When you come to Jesus Christ, your past is washed away forever. That's who we are. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Everybody say with me, I am who he says I am.
I am.
Put your right hand up high and make a little declaration today. I am who he says I am. You ready? Here we go. I am who he says I am. Boy, you guys are on fire here today. Glory to God. I travel a lot. more than I want to in airplanes. If you want entertainment, visit an airport. Buddy, you don't have to go to a comedy show to see it all. The funniest thing I've ever seen in an airport, I'm gonna tell it to you, is late in the day, and if you travel by plane, it gets worse as the day goes on. They get further and further behind and things go wrong. It's getting pretty late in the evening and we're fixing to get on this plane. And suddenly, the announcement comes that you never want to hear. This plane has some mechanical problems and the flight has been canceled. There is another plane that is going to be going to the same place, but it's a lot smaller plane. Everybody rushes and gets in the line, and the plane fills up, and there's no other seats, including a seat for me. And there's a guy standing in line that was kind of impressed with himself. Mr. Wonderful. I mean, he just, Mr. Big Shot. So he didn't get a seat, and I could tell he was not happy. He was not happy. He walked up to the counter and he said to the young lady behind, it's amazing how people blame the little people behind the counter for the plane breaking down. He said, I got to have a seat on that plane. She said, sir, she was real kind. Said, sir, we all the seats are gone. There's a waiting list. There's no seats. He banged his fist on the counter, looked at her and said, young lady, do you know who I am? This is classic. She never changed expressions. She reached under the counter and took the microphone to the entire airport public address system and said, attention, ladies and gentlemen, I have a gentleman at my counter who does not know who he is. I said, let me buy her dinner. But you know what? We got a church full of folks who do not know who they are. I am the righteousness of God. My sins are forgiven. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
All right, we got to get her done here. Number two, y'all still here? Here's the second confession. I want you to make a note of this. Number two, I not only am who he says I am, but I can do what he says I can do. Now, when you get up and say that in the morning, every day, I can do what he says I can do. Jesus says to the Father, he's speaking your word. You need to come to his assistance today. You know what the Bible said, Philippians 4? It's a powerful verse. Philippians 4:13, I can do some things. I can do how many things? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I love it in the Amplified Bible. Now, I'm gonna quote from the Amplified, but all you Baptists, I got the King Jimmy right here. It's right there. But listen to the Amplified Bible. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. Watch this. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I love this part. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Anybody here follow the NBA basketball at all? You followed it all? I'm not an NBA fan, but a lot of folks are. I was in a restaurant somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And there was a kid sitting with his parents, and he had on a Stephen Curry t-shirt. If you don't know Stephen Curry, plays for the Golden State Warriors. He's one of the favorite players in America. You probably have not noticed this and not aware of this. On Stephen Curry's sneakers, Under Armour sneakers, every pair that he wears, he writes with a Sharpie on that sneaker, I can do all things. He has been doing that since he was an athlete at Davidson University. That is from Philippians chapter 4, that we just read, I can do, 4:13, I can do all things. Some of you doubt, oh no, these people are wonderful. How did y'all do that? My goodness, there it is right there. I don't know anything about Stephen Curry, but I know one thing. If I played in the NBA, I would want me a pair of sneakers like that. How many of you know that is true? Say it with me, I can. Somebody said success comes in cans, not in canes. Number three, here's the third confession. Some of you just started writing. You're kind of getting on the page right now. I have what he says I have. Same book of Philippians. But my God, I think that's verse 19 maybe. Yes, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to the stock market. But my God, this is a good one for Oklahoma. My God shall supply all of your need according to the price of oil per barrel. That's not what it says. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Where? His riches? According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How many of you are aware that there is not a financial crisis in heaven? Can I hear an amen to that? What kind of life would you live? What would your business do if you began every day by saying, God is going to supply all my needs and I have what he says I have. Come on, folks. We need to recognize that not the stock market, not the economy, not even your job is your source. God is your source. Come on, somebody. I cannot pass this. This is one of my favorite passages. You ever heard this passage? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. One translation says, I shall not want any good thing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God is not interested in 3 teaspoons in the bottom of your cup. That's not what he says. He said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God doesn't want to just give you enough to make your house payment or your car payment or put clothes on your kids. God wants to give you enough not only to meet your needs, but to bless people around you. I grew up in a pretty negative environment in church. None of you know anything about that. You could listen to their singing and it would kind of depress you. That's why I did not become a Christian. I said, I got troubles of my own. I don't think I need this. They would sing songs like, this may be your favorite song. What am I doing talking about this? I don't know you that well. But I remember this as a teenager back there. They would sing with fervor and long face, burdened down with sorrows in a weary land. We're just a band of pilgrims on the move. That makes you want to run up and sign up, doesn't it? I mean, let me join the club. Burdened down with sorrows in a weary land. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is good news. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
My God shall supply all of my needs. Whatever you need, God says, I'm your source. The biggest lie that I ever heard, I think, from the pulpit was this. I've heard, and you may have heard preachers say, don't expect God to do anything more for you than just to meet your basic necessities. You know where that came from? That came from the devil. Because if you embrace that and all you ever have is enough money to avoid bankruptcy, you will never be a blessing, and the church will never reach the world with the message of Jesus Christ. That's not God's will. Let me show you something in the Bible. My goodness. Let me show you something in the scripture. I want to read you a verse. This right here will set your feet a dancing. Amen. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able, say it with me, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having barely enough to survive. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's what God says. Put your right hand up high. Make a declaration with me right here. Say with me, I have what God says I have. Anybody remember, I'm sure it was here in Oklahoma, it was where I lived. Anybody remember when gas was almost $5 a gallon? Anybody remember that? Gas shot up there, $4 and something a gallon. You remember that? I'm standing at the gas pump putting gas in my truck. All great preachers in Arkansas drive pickup trucks, I want you to know. Putting gas in my truck, and the gas was $4 and something a gallon, and that little wheel just going like that. How many of you know it doesn't take long if it's nearly $5 a gallon to get pretty high right there? In 20 gallons, I can tell you what that is. I remember that. That's going in there, and a little demon jumped up on my shoulder. And that little demon said, man, that's so expensive. You can't afford that. Why don't you just put a half a tank in? And he began to give me that little demon. Anybody ever had a demon talk to you? Holy Spirit came up on me and I said, that is a lie. God is going to supply everything I need to run this truck for the furtherance of the gospel. And then I don't know what happened to me. I guess I got anointed. I just took that hose out of the gas tank and I just squirted some on the ground. I said, take that, you devil. Now the environmentalists are gonna, you know, I'll get 14 letters from all you tree huggers that are here. But I'm gonna tell you something. I just believe that God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen to that? Number four. Have I given you three? Yes, sir. Is it number four next? Yes, wished I had an hour to talk about it. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved by God. Do you know God never stops loving you? Amen. I got three amens. Even when you mess up. Now, none of you here have ever messed up, but pray for us sinners. But how many of you know Satan's tactic is when you mess up to convince you that God doesn't love you anymore? That's not true. That's not, God never stops loving you. I am loved. What kind of a day would you have if every day you started it out with, I'm loved today. I'm loved by God. God loves me today. You talk like that very long, you'll talk yourself out of the blues. Look at this verse. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loved you. When Kip Holden was a scoundrel before he accepted Christ, when you were in your sin, God loved you enough to die for you on a cross. Now that you're his child, how much does he love you now? This verse is powerful. God loved us when we were unlovable. Now you've been redeemed by his blood. Your sins have been forgiven. You are his, you're part of his family. Do you think God loves you less or more? God loves you more. In fact, Jesus said it, if you then being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that love him. How many of you here have kids? Let me see your hand. You got kids. How many of you got grandkids? Oh my goodness. I got grandkids. I got a little grandson, 10 years old. He's a thinker. Man, he is a thinker. Sharp little guy. Bragging on my grandson. But he's also a spender. Good grief. Now his sister's as tight as the bark on a tree. But he sees things. He's into all kind of gadgets, and he buys things, and his parents have kind of put a little bit of a lid on him to where he's got to work and earn the money if he's going to buy it, which is a good idea. So the other day I was working out in my yard, and his mama brought him by and dropped him off, and he walked out and he said, "Pappy, I found me something I want to buy. It's $17 and I only got $9. Have you got a job for me?" I said, "Yes, I do, son." I said, "Why don't you get out there and get you a 5-gallon bucket and pick up all them pine cones in the backyard?" I'd already picked up most of them, but how many of you know when your grandson's asking for a job, you're going to find a way? So he got out there and picked up the remaining, and it might have been a bucket and a half. I mean, it wasn't anything. So when he got through, but I need to tell you this, I think three times during him picking up the pine cones, he said to me, "Pappy, I love you. I love you too, son. Pappy, I love you." So when we got through, I said to him, I said, "Son, how much you think I owe you for that?" He said, "I don't know, whatever you feel is right." "Pappy, I love you." I said, "Now you got to remember, he didn't work very long." I said, "Well, son, what do you think is right?" "Well, I was kind of thinking like $9 for 20 minutes work for a 10-year-old. How many of you know that's dumb? Anybody want to know how much I paid him? $20. You know why? Because I love that my grandson. Come on, so, now none of you are guilty of that. You think I'm bad? You ought to talk to my wife. Oh man. You know what my kids, you know what my grandkids call my house? The resort. You know why? Because they feel so loved. Are you aware that when you're in God's house, you're in a house where your Father loves you? Come on, how many of you are glad of that? Last one, number five confessions. Is that correct? All things, number five, somewhere. We're looking for number five. That's number four. That's number five. All things are working together for my good. Now, I got to tell you something. You see that verse right there on the Bible, Romans 8:28? I'm going to quote it in a moment. That is my wife. This is the honest truth. That is my wife's favorite verse in the Bible. I believe it, but it's not my favorite verse. You know what the verse says? "For we know that all things work together for good." All things work together for good. To those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Now it doesn't say all things are good. How many of you know all things are not good? Anybody here, since you've been a Christian, you've had some bad things happen to you? "Well, yeah, Pastor, you can preach this because nothing bad's ever happened to you." Really? All things work together for good. That's my wife's favorite verse. She quotes it to me all the time. I believe it, but I'm not in her club. It's just hard to believe that when you're going through some tough times. But that doesn't change it. God is working these things. It doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. I got to tell you just a quick illustration. How many of you here have ever seen somebody make biscuits? I'm not talking about frozen biscuits that you put in the oven. I see one hand. I mean, are there any real biscuit makers here in this room? You make biscuits. You make real biscuits. If you make real biscuits, I want you to stand up because you are a rare breed. Come on, real biscuits. Real biscuits. You make real biscuits? Oh my goodness. Oh, here we go. Yes, sir. We're getting there now. My mama was maybe one of the best cooks I ever met. I mean, Louisiana women can cook. And she was a biscuit maker. I mean the real thing. I watched her make biscuits one day, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. I noticed what went in those biscuits. Flour. Anybody here ever got up one morning and said, I'd like to have a bowl of flour for breakfast? How many of you know flour is awful? Now in Louisiana, you know nothing about this in Oklahoma, but in those days, she put a little bit of lard in there. You don't even know what lard is, okay? Oil, cooking oil. Praise God, I'd like to have a glass of oil today with my lunch. How many of you know nobody drinks that? And then help me here, cooks, baking soda. Give me 4 teaspoons of baking soda, that'll get me going today. That's the worst tasting stuff in the world. And salt, put a little salt in there. Dear mercy. All of that. But I want to tell you something. When she got it in there and she began to work it together, and begin to mix it, and begin to mix it, and begin to mix it. And that stuff began to come together like it does, like she could make it come together. You got it right there. Like she could do it. And she didn't have the fancy biscuit cutter. She pulled them out, pulled them off of that big hunk of dough. That's why the biscuits were so big. In Louisiana, we called them cathead biscuits. I mean, big old biscuits. She pulled them off, put them in that greased black pan, and put them in the oven. In a little while, you'd begin to smell things coming out of that kitchen. It would make you quit doing what you were doing. Nobody had to call you and say, come to breakfast. You were standing in line. I mean, biscuits that would make your mouth water. But you know what? The ingredients that went in there were not good until the master biscuit maker began to work them together, work them together, work them together, work them together. If my mama could work together those bad ingredients and produce mouth-watering biscuits, how much more can the master biscuit maker of the universe take the bad stuff in your life, blend it together, and produce the best experience you've ever had. Somebody needs to hear that. All things work together for my good because I'm called according to His purpose. Can I hear an amen to that? Father God, we sense Your presence in an awesome way. Lord, You are in this room. You are here today. And we thank You, Lord, as these musicians prepare to come. We just believe that You've brought us together for a distinct purpose, Lord. That you've brought us here today to make a difference in our lives. Lord, you want to move us to a whole new dimension of living. And by being here today and hearing Your word, I believe You're speaking to our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart, and I will take but a minute to get this done. There are some of you that are still struggling with, though you've accepted Christ, you are still struggling with the shame and the guilt and the condemnation over mistakes and bad choices that you made in the past. And the enemy has beat you to death with that and kept you living a substandard life for a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to pray for you right now, if that's you. And you will say to me, Pastor Holden, I don't understand it, but I carry the shame and the guilt. I've accepted Christ, but I just can't turn that stuff loose. God wants to set you free from that right now. And I want to pray for you right now in this room, if that is you. And don't patronize me, I'm way too old for that. But if you're here tonight and you struggle with that, I want you right now to lift your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right where you're sitting. If that is you, put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just leave it up for a moment, because I'm going to pray for you right where you are. I believe that God is going to deliver you and cause you to recognize that you are who He says you are, the righteousness of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man and woman and student whose hands are lifted. In the name of Jesus, help them, Lord, to grasp this truth that old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Look right at my face right now. Look right at my face right now. God heard our prayer, and according to His word, old things are not covered up. They no longer exist according to God's word. Can I hear an amen to that? Well, let's just celebrate. That's a powerful truth. Let's give the Lord a good hand for that right now. Let me do this with your heads bowed again, please, and your eyes closed. How many of you in this room will say to me, Pastor Holden, I love God, and I know God loves me, but I'm not certain about my relationship with the Lord. If Jesus were to come or call for me, I'm not sure I would be ready to stand before Him, but I don't want to live another day like that in my life. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that my sins are forgiven. I'd like to pray for you before I step down. If that's you, slip your hand up. I'm not asking you to join anything, not join any church, but that is you. Put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now. God bless you. God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that right where these folks are sitting, they will accept you and receive you as their Lord and their Savior in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Right where you're sitting, pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. In fact, let's everybody pray it. Let's pray it together. Are you ready? Let's pray this together and help these folks that raise their hand. Let's pray it out loud. Make it easy for them. Pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, say it. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sins, and I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins, that you rose again, and I boldly declare Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, and my coming King in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh my, I see folks weeping all across this building. That's okay. Those are tears of repentance and tears of joy. I want to encourage you, talk with the prayer team or the pastors in this church. Before you leave, walk up to one of them and say, please let me seal this by telling you what God has done in my life. How many of you are making a decision today? I'm going to take Pastor Holden's challenge. I'm going to take these five confessions of faith. I'm going to memorize them. I'm going to make them a part of my day for the next 12 months. My promise is still good. If your life is not better in 12 months, I'll send all your money back to you. Can't beat that at Walmart. Really. If you're making that decision right now, I believe God spoke this word to my heart for this group right here. What kind of church would this be if everybody in this room put these five confessions in motion for the next 12 months? What kind of church would this be? Father God, I thank you. This has been an awesome group of people. I thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless them. And Lord, those that are making a decision, I'm going to make these a part of my life for the next 12 months. I pray, Lord, that you will confirm your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step down. Your pastor's going to come. I want to thank you for your love offering for me. It goes to help me to do what I do. I travel to places that can't afford to have me come. But I don't go to places where they can afford to have me come. I go where God tells me to go. And by you giving, you help me to do that. They're not going to send me an offering from Pakistan, I'll tell you that. But I'm going to be training 1,000 Pakistani pastors. 1,000 Pakistani pastors. They can't afford to have me come in Mexico. But I'm going, because there'll be 1,000, over 1,000 pastors there that we're going to be speaking to. So I want to thank you for that. Could I tell you one last thing before your pastor comes? I don't know if anybody's ever told you this. Y'all are a great group of people. And I've been around a long time. I've been around a half a century, by the way, doing this. You're great folks. How many of you know this is a great church? Amen. This is a great church. My friend Dennis Slavens, who pastors there in Kansas City, said one time, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, you have to pay some folks to be good, but you folks are just good for nothing. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good hand. Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm extremely confident of the ministry that Brother Kemp Holden is doing, and his past speaks greatly for him, and I believe that we can invest in his future for the kingdom of God. So if the ushers will come, we'll do that right now. As the ushers are coming, I want to ask this question. Who's going to join me, and let's make a physical confession and raise our hands and say, I'm going to promise to do those 5 steps for a month. All right, that way we will be accountable. You can see who raised their hands, and we will be accountable to each other for those 5 steps, and we'll put that to practice for a month, and then we'll give you your money back too. As a church, we'll even give their money back if it doesn't work. That's faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today and all that you have taught us today, and the direction that you are sending us, and even the direction that you are sending Brother Kemp Holden. And I pray that you will keep him safe. You will keep him with that strong ability and passion to impact people for the gospel, and that his travels, the things that he touches, the things that he says will all be blessed and anointed, even on the travel there, the plane trip there, the people that he touches. I thank you for the impact that we're going to see through this ministry in the next 12 days. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. All right, if the ushers will go ahead, let's give Pastor Kemp Holden another round of applause, if you would, please. Thank you so much for being here, and don't forget that we have the children's party tonight. Have your kids dress appropriately for the water party, and don't forget the back-to-school supplies and the drive that we're doing here for Eastern Oklahoma County. If you are making out a check, you can make it to the church, Bethel Church Choctaw, and we will give that money straight to Brother Kemp Holden if you do need to write out a check. All right, if you would, let's go ahead and stand, if you would, please. It is truly an honor to be in church with you today. I appreciate that. I honestly do appreciate every one of you. And I appreciate Pastor Kemp Holden stepping out on faith and coming and visiting with us today and sharing and ministering. If you see him after church, you give him a big handshake and a kiss on the cheek. Well, maybe. All right, I like to surprise people like that. Take with you the